reading from the Holy Gospel according to the Blessed Apostle John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, you will be guided into all the truth. For the Spirit will not speak out of the Spirit's own authority, but will speak whatever the Spirit hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will glorify me, taking what is mine and declaring it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the third chapter of Exodus, through the burning bush, God calls Moses to serve him. That burning bush that burned and burned and yet was not consumed. And as Moses sees the burning bush, as Moses draws near to it, God calls out to Moses saying, "Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." I know just how Moses feels. For the preacher, what ground could possibly be holier than this, the most holy Trinity, to speak about the very nature of Almighty God? Moses hesitates. Moses says that he is slow of speech and slow of tongue. "Who am I," Moses says, "who am I to speak to God?" And I feel the very same way. Who am I to presume to speak about the all-holy God? Isaiah saw God in his glory in the temple in Jerusalem, and Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, for I am a person of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the Lord." It was terrifying. In Revelation chapter 4, St. John sees the dazzling throne of God. It's made of precious stones of emerald and jasper and carnelian. And John tells us from that throne there came forth flashes of lightning and voices and peals of thunder. That throne is surrounded by fabulous creatures, by the cherubim and seraphim, by all the hosts of heaven. And John tells us they never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." These images, these word pictures of the Almighty God are intended to inspire awe and wonder. They can never, they cannot really ever describe the indescribable. We're told that God dwells in unapproachable light, but also that God dwells in thick darkness. This is a paradox wrapped in a riddle, veiled in a mystery. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about the three persons of the Trinity. He says, "All that the Father has is mine, and the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth." This is an even greater mystery. There is only one God, but that God always reveals God's self in Trinity as creator, as redeemer, as comforter. How do we add 1 + 1 + 1 and get 1, not 3? It is, as I said, a huge mystery. Professor John Theodore Mueller, down the street here at Concordia Seminary, said the scriptural doctrine of the Most Holy Trinity is absolutely incomprehensible to the human mind. No fooling. This is most certainly true. It's comforting that in our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, "I have lots to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. The Spirit will make all things clear to you." So the church takes Jesus at his word, and the Spirit reveals to the church the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Our old hymnal, the old green hymnal, the Lutheran Book of Worship, on page 54 used to have the Athanasian Creed. And if you still have your old Lutheran Book of Worship, I suggest you look it up on page 54 and read the entire Athanasian Creed, which is a wonderful, wonderful work. The Athanasian Creed explains, yet there are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty. The Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Spirit is Lord, and yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just seeing it written out all those years ago, just seeing it written out helped me so very much. The Athanasian Creed is a beautiful expression of this holy doctrine. We don't claim to understand it, but we believe it. It's called faith. We cling to that. We will never understand the holy essence of God until we see God's majesty in heaven. In the meantime, we can know God as God reveals God's self to us, as the Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. St. Paul tells us, the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We can know the Creator as we see God's beautiful creation, as we see the star-spangled nighttime sky, as we wonder at the intricacy, the beauty of the human genome, the DNA double helix, as we see the ocean in full storm, as we view the Rockies or the Alps, when we hear a newborn baby cry, who could not believe? But it's more than just a pantheistic sort of feeling that God is in everything. St. Paul tells us, even the demons know that there's a God. Even the demons know that there's a God, and they tremble. The Bible, however, shows us a Creator who is love, a Creator who provides for us, who cares for us. The Bible shows us a God who leads us out of slavery and sets us free, a God who leads us through the Red Sea into the Promised Land, a God who loves us so very much that God takes our very flesh and blood. We know a God who is not a stranger, but a God who bore our every weakness. We know a Redeemer. We know a Savior. Look at that baby in the manger. Look at the man dying on the cross. Look at that empty tomb and know that God loves us so very much. And that love is not long ago and far away. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know God's power here and now. The Spirit of God is present in us and in the gospel and in the sacraments, because we are the body of Christ, the church. And in holy baptism, Almighty God puts his name upon us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and calls us his own and says that we belong to him. We can know God's love. We can know God's care. We can know God's power because Jesus promises it to us. Knowing this God moves us then to serve this loving God, not by empty assent to words, but in a living, loving relationship that fills us and motivates us. We can know the Creator, know that we are God's creatures. We can know that we didn't make ourselves. We have a source, Almighty God. We have an ultimate goal. We have a responsibility. We are stewards to care for creation. We can know the Redeemer, know that God loves us and God calls us to love one another. Know that God loves us enough to give God's very self for us and calls us to give ourselves to each other. We can know the Sanctifier, the Comforter. We can know and feel God's transforming power in our lives and share that power through the same Spirit who calls us into relationship with God and gives us new life. Now, many of you know that I'm a wood carver. I do lots of church carvings. I carved, for example, the nativity scene we use here at church. I carve crucifixes and Madonnas and manger scenes. I love iconography. And each saint, when I carve a figure, is given an attribute, a symbol, so you know which saint the figure represents. Like St. Lawrence, the deacon at Rome, and the grill upon which he was so horribly, horribly martyred. St. Augustine was the bishop of Hippo in northern Africa and was one of the greatest intellects of all time, one of the most formative theologians ever in the Christian church. St. Augustine spent years and years and years trying to explain the Holy Trinity. St. Augustine wrote a 12-volume treatise on the Holy Trinity. And yet, St. Augustine's attribute is not a pile of dusty books. St. Augustine's attribute is a little boy with a sandbucket. Why is that? One day, St. Augustine was taking a break. He was walking along the shore of the Mediterranean Sea there, near where he lived. And as he walked, he noticed a little boy with his sand bucket running back and forth from the water to the beach. The little boy would fill his little sand bucket with water from the sea and run back up the beach and dump it into a hole that he had dug in the sand. The holy bishop asked the little child what he was doing. The little boy said, "Why, Holy Father, I'm trying to empty the sea into this hole here." The little boy was trying to empty the Mediterranean Sea one bucket at a time. St. Augustine realized suddenly that that was exactly what he himself was trying to do. Trying to explain the mystery of God is like trying to empty the ocean one bucket at a time. We can't do it. We can't understand God. We can't explain God. We can only love God because God loved us first. Our Father in God, Dr. Martin Luther, said that John 3:16 is every bit. It's all that we need to know, for God so loved the world. My own Father in God, Count Zinzendorf, said, "When we know Jesus, we know everything we need to know about God." We can walk with God through the darkness of this fallen, sinful world. We can put our hands into God's hand, and when we do, we realize that that hand is pierced. That hand is pierced for us. The scar of the nail is still there in God's hand. For this is the God who loves us. This is the God who has given everything for us. Let's put our hand into God's hand, and let's walk with God through this world. Amen. Glory be to Jesus forever and forever. Amen. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.